My guest today is Keith Casey. Keith, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What do you do?
That's a really good question. So I'm a director of product at a company called Clarify. And director of product, I'm in charge of the roadmap, and we make an API that makes audio and video searchable. So you can take things like podcasts, news broadcast, professors' lectures, and find who said what when.
That sounds interesting. That might be a topic for a future show.
That sounds great to me.
But I want to talk about the BDD, because you
yes.
did. I didn't get to see your presentation at that conference.
I'll never forgive you, ever.
Yesterday. But I will really never?
Never, ever. Like, we were cool till this moment.
What about now? Do you forgive me now?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. I have a short attention span.
But I heard good things about it.
Oh,
people
good.
People were saying it was really good. I've never done a show on BDD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been years since you've been on my show.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And let's start. Well, BDD it stands for something, right?
Yes, it's behavior-driven development. And it's the idea of, instead of like unit tests are about testing individual pieces, like the internal units of software. BDD is all about looking at it from the customer's perspective.
Okay.
So what does the customer see when they do something? So you have to get out of the mindset of being a developer and start thinking about how the customer says and does things.
All right, give me an example of that.
Like one of the things we do with Clarify is we know when a customer starts a new account with us, here are the three things they're going to do.
Okay.
So we write out the individual BDD test to demonstrate that. So in BDD, you write in what's called the Gherkin syntax. Okay. Gherkin is in the little pickle. And it says, given this, when I do this, then this happens.
So Gherkin is actually a language. It's a syntax.
Yes, yes.
All right.
And it's great. It's completely platform language agnostic. So
okay.
We do all of our testing in PHP, Python, Ruby. We're looking at C# next with using InSpec, a couple other things like that.
What's your code written in?
Our backend system?
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. Oh.
No, our backend system is all Python.
Okay.
So
you're testing Python code, but with a Ruby test engine.
We do it in PHP, Ruby, and Python.
Okay, all right.
So because what we're also doing is testing our helper libraries to make sure the libraries work as expected.
Oh, okay. All right. So now BDD, that sounds a lot like test-driven development, because you said the word
yes.
test, and that's
yes.
what you started with.
Yeah.
But it differs in what way?
So test-driven development is usually still, it's sort of the next step from unit testing.
Okay.
So you're still talking about the individual internal components and how things individually work. When you talk about BDD, the analogy that somebody was talking about earlier is that, like, unit testing is at the individual layers. Like, you might have the model layer, the view layer, the controller layer, and you've got the individual testing there. BDD sort of goes vertical.
Okay.
And it says, when a user wants to do this, how does every layer of the stack work?
Huh.
But it's from the customer's perspective, where they don't know what the stack is. They don't care. They don't need to know. They just know, I do this, this other thing happens.
All right. And now that last thing you described sounded a lot like integration testing.
Yes.
And
yes.
How does it differ from integration testing?
Integration testing is the way most people do it. It's glorified unit testing. That they're really just sort of testing individual controllers and things like that. This is getting outside the development environment entirely and going back to the customers. So the nice thing about BDD is that a lot of times product owners or product managers can write these tests themselves because it's English.
Okay. All right. I think I got a handle on it now.
Okay.
You are, in a sense, you really are doing the same. The tests themselves are hitting the same code. You're testing
yes.
a lot of the same things that you would be testing in integration testing
mm-hmm.
and in unit tests, but you're starting from a different point.
Yes.
Outside
yes.
of the application.
Yes.
And you're starting with a different mindset.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what happens when I call this method, because
mm-hmm.
customers don't have any concept of methods. They don't
exactly.
really care. But I'm thinking about what happens when I add a new customer to the system.
Exactly.
Look up an order. What should happen at that point?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, a lot of times we can prove that individual unit tests prove that this particular function or method works the way we're expecting it to.
Yes.
But it's where the pieces come together that they don't always work like we're expecting them to.
Yeah. So if I'm doing good BDD testing,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean I don't have to do those other kinds of testing?
No, I think you really do need to do all of it. Primarily, the place where we do BDD is when we talk about individual features for users. And we say, okay, here's what we believe the user wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So given they have an API key and given they have this, then when they do this, this other thing happens. And so stepping through that process. So this doesn't relieve you of the effort of doing regular unit testing. This just gives you a different perspective to sort of write tests from.
Okay. And we've established the difference between the different types of testing and BDD,
mm-hmm.
but we are adding another layer of testing to this. There's effort involved in that.
Yes.
Why bother with that?
So I think the important part is that you're getting out of the developer mindset and starting to think in the customer's mindset. Because at the end of the day, like, developers, we're really good at figuring out, does this thing work for what, you know, our definition of work. But I think at the end of the day, if we're not solving the customer's problem, we've got bigger problems in store. Mm-hmm. And we need to get into their mindset and saying, does this actually solve their problems? Does this accomplish something that they want to do?
So if I could paraphrase that, then most of the testing that I'm familiar with is mm-hmm. testing to see, does this method call return the expected results?
Yes.
Customers don't care about method calls. They don't even know about method calls.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have to.
They know about the data that they're inputting and how they're interacting with a system, often through a user interface.
So yeah, do things work the way I'm expecting it to?
Okay, and getting that into some sort of English-like language like this
Gherkin syntax.
Gherkin syntax.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of the Gherkin syntax, so mm-hmm. this is basically a standard. It's not a tool, right?
Yes.
You need some tool to understand Gherkin.
Yes. Yeah, so you write Gherkin scripts. It's the whole given X, when I do Y, then Z happens sort of thing. Hmm. And so you get to define what each of those things means. And the syntax is pretty standard. It's been out 5-6 years or so.
Okay.
And then there are libraries within each language that then take that Gherkin syntax and parse it and turn it into individual method calls and everything behind the scenes. So you still have to write code behind the scenes.
Okay.
But the actual interface that people are playing with is pure text.
I see.
So in PHP, like, the big one is Behat, Behave in Python, InSpec in C#, Golang has some. They're pretty much everything at this point.
All right, which ones do you use?
We use PHP, Ruby, and Python, and we're starting to get into InSpec.
Oh, okay. You use several different ones.
Yes,
and
yes.
The reason is?
Because we found that about 77% of our users actually use one of our helper libraries to use our API.
Uh-huh.
So we want to validate not just that the API is working, but our helper libraries work the way we're expecting them to.
Oh, okay. So you're also testing your helper libraries
yes.
as well.
Yes,
through BDD.
Yeah, because we found that's the user interface that they primarily use.
Ah, I see. Getting started.
Yes.
Somebody's watching this video, they say, that mm-hmm. sounds awesome. I want to start doing this. Where would they start?
So this is a place where most people just screw it up royally. They say, oh, I want to test my API, or I want to test my piece of software. And they try and test it all at once. So they start trying to test this one thing, and then like, oh, before I can test that, I need to test this. Oh, before I can test this, I need to test this. And they end up going down these rat holes and spending hours or days or weeks worth of effort and get totally burned out. And they said, oh, I tried testing once. It sucked. So. Yeah, you've been there, right?
Maybe not with testing, but with other things.
Yeah. So I always say, start with the bare minimum thing that'll work. So okay. in our case, we know that when a user signs up for an account, we know the first thing they'll do.
Okay.
So we say, okay, for that case, forget all the other stuff right now. We can always go back and add tests. For that one specific thing, let's write the test to support that. Once we prove that that works the way we're expecting it to, then let's find out the next thing that customers do and build a test to support that.
Oh, okay. And so you're writing your tests first.
That's where we're moving to.
Okay.
We built a good portion of the system before we had any sort of behavior-driven tests. We had unit tests behind the scenes, but we didn't have any BDD tests until much later. And so now we're going back and filling in those and then starting to get ahead of the game a little bit.
So going forward, new features, you're doing test first.
Yes.
Or write
the
test first and then move forward with that. Have you integrated BDD, the BDD tests, into your regression testing? Like every time you add a new feature or every time you push out a deployment, are
so
you doing that sort of thing?
That's the next step. So we've proved that it works the way we're expecting it to in all the language that we're expecting. Now we want to build it into our build process. And we use Docker containers for everything. So like it's a very well-regulated and segmented build process. So that's the next step. And we're not there yet.
Okay. Anything else that we haven't talked about that we should have?
No, I think that's pretty much about it.
Are you blogging?
Yes, I am. You can find me online at caseysoftware.com. I'm Casey Software just about everywhere, Twitter, Skype, just about everywhere. And then you can find...
Letter K and letter C?
No, I'm sorry, C-A-S-E-Y, Software.
All right.
And then clarify.io is my company blog, and you can find all the stuff there.
Keith, thanks so much.
Thank you. So I think one of the great things about conferences like this and a lot of conferences is that by the end of it, you meet some great friends that are doing some cool things. And I view the community itself as like an extended R&D group. There's no way I can learn everything that's out there or even have an idea of what's going on out there. But there's various people doing different technologies and different tools and things like that that I can sit and spend, you know, a half hour, an hour talking with somebody over beer and learn a ton. And I think that's great.